Welcome to the podcast. Jeff Wolf is a revivalist, author, and the founder and president of Resurgence, a Cincinnati-based nonprofit organization on a mission to minister to the ministry. We're so glad to have you today. Here's Jeff.
Hey, folks, thanks for taking a few minutes today to let me speak into your life. I'm doing a series on the book that was released just a few weeks ago entitled Mindemic: How Faith Can Help Us Overcome the Anxiety and Depression Crisis in America. I'm excited to announce that we're doing a live virtual book launch on July 8th in the evening. Time to be determined. Make sure you put that on your calendar so you can spend about an hour with us during the live launch event. It's going to be good. I'm looking forward to it. I've taken just a few weeks of my podcast to dig into the book and create a little more interest and give you some information that'll hopefully help you or someone that you love that's struggling with anxiety and depression. This problem is physical, it is emotional, and it is spiritual. I've talked about those first two aspects of what I call intangible pain of anxiety and depression. Today, I want to dig into the spiritual aspect of it. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about out of the last chapter of the book that's entitled The Case for Healing. I'm a Pentecostal preacher, and above and beyond being an author and being someone who is digging into any subject, I am a Pentecostal preacher, is what God called me to do. It is what my passion is. And it just so happens that at this season of my life, God is developing my communication into the written word. I'm now working on book number 4. But so as I communicate this, I do it from the perspective of a Pentecostal preacher who believes in the power of the Holy Spirit to bring healing to us, body, mind, and spirit. God is able to heal you, not just in your physical body of a physical ailment or disease, but He's able to heal your mind of the plague of anxiety and depression, this mindemic, this pandemic of the mind that many, many, many people are going through, including a family of 5. It is statistically probable that out of a family of 5, 3 people are struggling with it. So I want to talk about the spiritual aspect of it. We've talked a little bit about the origin of anxiety and depression. Where does it come from? Medical science has tried to find the answer. They can't agree. Philosophers have tried to find the answer. They can't agree. But if they would just open up their eyes and their hearts and their minds to the Spirit and to the Scripture, they'd find the answer, because it is indeed found in Scripture. If you go to the first few chapters of Genesis, anxiety begins to be a theme right off the bat. It stems from the original sin, the curse of the sin of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, when they decided to go against the word of God to them and listen to the voice of the serpent, Satan, who enticed them to eating the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And that is where anxiety enters the heart of man. So what I want to do is take you to Genesis chapter 3 in the first few verses, and I want to read something to you from the New Living Translation. Bear with me. Verse 1, "The serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord had made. One day he asked the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden?'" Now notice right off the bat that Satan is deceiving Eve with the words that he says. Think about this. He says, knowing good and well what God has said, he says to Eve, "Did God really say you couldn't have any of the fruit of any of the trees in this garden?" The enemy is always, always, always in the business of twisting God's words in your heart and mind. Now, keep in mind that anxiety and depression and emotional intangible pain in your life that comes about as a result of predispositions through genetics or incidental anxiety, depression, things that come about as a result of the trauma that you've been through, Either way, it is always about battling faulty thinking, battling invasive, toxic thoughts. And that's exactly what Satan is introducing to Eve in the Garden of Eden in the third chapter of Genesis. He is introducing toxic thoughts that are based on lies. Satan tried to twist the words of God to Adam and Eve and to plant a thought in her mind that would bring doubt of the word of God and ultimately disobedience. He said, did not God say to you, did God really say to you that you couldn't have any of the fruit of any of the trees in the garden? And Eve said, no, we can eat of any tree in the garden except for this one in the middle called the knowledge, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And Satan came back to her and said, that's not true. The devil called God a liar. Anxiety entered the hearts of God's creation, men and women, the moment they believed that what God said wasn't true. The devil was challenging the word of God with negative, toxic, faulty thinking. That's what brings about anxiety and depression. Negative, toxic, faulty thinking and beliefs. And so you know how the story goes, that she believed, she saw that the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was good for food, that it was very beautiful and it looked like it would taste good. And so she believed the lie of the enemy and she partook of the fruit, gave some to Adam. And the Bible said immediately they were aware of their nakedness and they felt shame, the New Living Translation says. They felt shame. Shame. That word in the Hebrew is bosh. It is also transliterated as felt anxious. And there, anxiety entered the heart and the mind of man. Anxiety came from sin. Anxiety came from believing a lie. Anxiety was born and for the first time entered the mind of man when Eve accepted the faulty, toxic thinking of the enticement of the serpent in the garden. Where does depression come from? Well, Proverbs, you've heard me say this multiple times. Proverbs says that anxiety in the heart of man causes depression. And so we know where anxiety and depression came from. Anxiety and depression began, it is part of the curse that man has had to live with ever since, the curse of Adam and Eve from the garden. That's where anxiety and depression originates. It is, in fact, a spiritual issue. All right? And that theme is prevalent in all of Scripture. David, Job, Jeremiah, Elijah, all of them said, Lord, why was I even born in this world? I am better off dead. And this thought of anxiety and depression is an issue that has come against the people of God, great and small, from beginning to end. So now we know where it originates. We know exactly where healing comes from. Because whereas God, the scripture says that Adam is referred to as the first man, Adam, but Jesus is referred to as the last man, the second man, Adam, or the last man, Adam. Why is that? Because just as sin entered into the world through one man, Paul said, that redemption entered the world through one man without sin, namely the Lord Jesus Christ. And so many theologians have given their opinion as to why they believe that the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in Genesis and the Garden of Eden was in fact a fig tree. So that's important when we get to Matthew 21 and Jesus cursing the fig tree. But before we get there, By the way, all of this is kind of a little bit of a repetition of a podcast from several months ago when I was writing this portion of the book. It was in me and I had to get it out. So I'm kind of giving you a repeat. If you watch the podcast on a regular basis, you've heard me talk about this. But isn't it ironic that while the curse came through disobedience concerning a tree, that Jesus, the last man, Adam, meaning no one would ever need to come after him to bring reconciliation, was hung on a tree and crucified, bearing our sins on the tree. Think about that. The curse came through a tree, and the curse was eliminated through a tree, through the Lord Jesus Christ and his death on the cross. There is the answer. Jesus fixed, the last man Adam fixed what the first man Adam broke. And that is the story of redemption in a nutshell. And so when I get to Matthew 21, the cursing of the fig tree, Jesus is walking to Jerusalem. He comes across this fig tree. It has leaves on it. And so he assumes there's fruit because the leaves always came before the fruit. Or the fruit came before the fruit always grew before the leaves. And so therefore, if it had leaves, it was likely to have fruit. It caught Jesus' attention. He walked over to it. Perhaps he was hungry. And he saw that it had leaves, but it had no fruit. It was the unfruitful fig tree. And Jesus cursed it. He said, "May you never bear fruit again." And so there are a lot of commentators that have very academically I analyzed this passage using the original text and so forth and so on, and to give an example, to give a reason, to give an explanation, rather, as to why Jesus would curse this fig tree. But I have a theory that I've never read in a commentary or a Bible study. I believe that one of the theories should be this, that perhaps when Jesus saw that tree and that it bore no fruit, it reminded him of the curse that came to his children through their disobedience, but because of the serpent and that tree. That tree represented the curse of sin upon mankind. And perhaps Jesus, in his spirit and mind, went back to the day when the curse was introduced through the obedience related to that tree, and he decided to curse that tree. That Jesus saw it as the instrument through which the curse came, and he cursed it. As if to say that we have the power to curse the fig tree under his authority. When the disciples questioned him in Matthew 21, Jesus said, "You think that's something? If you have faith, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you curse this fig tree, but you can also say to that mountain, be removed and carried in the midst of the sea, and it shall be done." In other words, Jesus was saying, "I give you power through faith to curse the fig tree." In the context of this case for healing, being that anxiety and depression came through the sin of the first man, Adam, and it was eradicated and broken through the reconciliation of the last man, Adam. That when Jesus cursed this fig tree, it is representative to me of the tree of unfruitful thoughts, which is exactly what anxiety and depression, it's at the core of anxiety and depression, are these fruitless thoughts, these unfruitful thoughts. And when those unfruitful thoughts arise, you're never going to amount to anything. You're not going to be able to overcome this problem. You're not going to be able to deal with this stress and grief. But whatever the enemy is doing, whatever he's saying to you, lying to you, whatever toxic thoughts that he's planting in you, those are the unfruitful thoughts of the unfruitful tree. And the only way that you're going to be able to get free from that on a daily basis is to curse the tree of unfruitful thought. Curse the fig tree. I'm going to challenge you that the next time the enemy begins to read off the laundry list of lies that feeds your anxiety, that you immediately stop him in his tracks and say to him, I curse the fig tree. I refuse to continue to come back to the tree that bears no fruit in my life. The thoughts of anxiety and depression are never going to bear any fruit in your life. They are represented by the fig tree, the tree of unfruitful thought. You've got to get free from it. You've got to curse the fig tree. That's where healing comes. When you take the authority given you, can God heal you? Absolutely, He can heal you. But when it comes to your thoughts, as I've mentioned before, the New Testament, specifically the Pauline epistles, have a theme that is strong about how we are to control what we think. You have to be able, not only can God heal you, God can touch you, but you have to take the initiative to do your part, and your part is to refuse to listen to the unfruitful thoughts and curse the fig tree. You know, when Adam and Eve partook of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, their conscience was activated, their knowledge of good and evil. Never before had they needed a conscience. Never before did they need to have the knowledge of the tree of good and evil, because everything they knew was truth. Everything they had heard was truth, until the devil began to introduce his lies. Think about that. That's powerful. That they didn't know anything that wasn't true, because everything they knew had come to them from God, the Creator. Every word spoken in their ear had been the truth of God. I said many months ago when I was preaching, it just kind of came to me. This just kind of a direct download from the Holy Spirit, that truth is the intellectual property of God. He has the monopoly on the truth, because He is the way, the truth, and the life. And everything that they had heard, everything that had entered into the hearts and minds of Adam and Eve, were truth, the truth of God's word, until Satan introduced the lie. They believed the lie. They acted on the lie. And anxiety and depression came in. And they were separated at that moment. Their minds were separated from the mind of God. Their spirit was separated from the Spirit of God. But all on the cross, Jesus reconciled us back to God, that we might again have the Logos, the divine mind. You cannot walk in anxiety and depression when you are walking in the divine mind, the mind of God. I wanted to share that powerful word with you today, and I want to encourage you to take action against your anxiety, depression, and emotional pain. When the toxic thinking begins to rise up within you, recognize it for what it is and curse the fig tree. Curse the tree of unfruitful, toxic thought, the lies that feed your anxiety and depression. I hope this encourages you today. I want you to take this word and share it with someone. I am convinced that this word, this case for healing from anxiety and depression, is going to change your life. If you haven't already done so, go to mindemic.org and order your copy of Mindemic, How Faith Can Help Us Overcome the Anxiety and Depression Crisis in America. If you do, make sure to leave me a reference on Amazon, a review, and gift this to somebody who you believe is struggling. This book is a tool to bring healing, and I hope that you will help us to spread the word. Again, July 8th is the live book launch event on Facebook. Put it on your calendar, invite others. You'll see more about that and hear more about that from me in the next few days, in the coming couple of weeks leading up to July 8th. Hope you have a great day. I hope this has ministered to you, and I'll see you next time.
We're so glad you joined us today. Remember to subscribe on your favorite podcast provider and YouTube. For more information, go to jeffwolf.org. Are you one of the 268 million people around the world who are battling anxiety and depression? Jeff's new book addresses this pandemic of the mind. Mindemic: How Faith Can Help Us Overcome the Anxiety and Depression Crisis in America will restore your hope and help you challenge the lies of the enemy in your mind. It's available on Amazon and at mindemic.org. We'll see you next week. Be blessed.